Felicia, visit her website, qualityplusconsulting.com.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, attention crafters, artists, inventors, musicians, engineers, science clubs, culinary folks, and tinkerers. You're wanted for the Pleasant Prairie Mini Maker Fair held at the Recplex Saturday, November 26th. Visit MakerFairPleasantPrairie.com.
Support comes from Kenosha Harbor Market, featuring Pietrangelo Rustic Furniture, handmade, one-of-a-kind pieces, including a variety of cutting boards, storage chests, shelves, and decor. Kenosha Harbor Market on 2nd Avenue and Plaza Douay is open Saturdays from 9 to 2. I'm David Cole, General Manager of WGTD, urging your support of Wisconsin Public Radio by contributing to WPR during the pledge drive. Dollars that are sent to WPR translate directly into programming and operating subsidies for WGTD. This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, Chuck Wolbers, a special education teacher with Kenosha Unified Successful Transitions for Exceptional Students Program, and Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW-Oshkosh. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. This is Education Matters on WGTD Radio, 91.1 FM, your gateway to public radio here in Kenosha, Wisconsin. I'm co-moderator Chuck Wolbers, and we are broadcasting from the Gateway Technical College Kenosha campus studio location, which is high atop the ultra-modern, full-on, cutting-edge Center for Bioscience and Information Technology. Today, I'm especially pleased to introduce to our listening audience my guest, Mr. Ed Kupka. Ed is a KUSD coordinator with the Department of Special Education and Student Support, and within that capacity, he oversees a variety of student support-related functions, which he'll discuss with us this morning. Now, Ed is no newcomer to anyone, or should be anyone, in the education community. He has made and been a part of an active contribution to Kenosha education since 2001, and it's my intent to describe the accomplishments that comprise his activity and how it supports the overall focus and objective of his part of the KUSD mission. Now, as I do with all my guests, certainly good morning, Ed. It's a pleasure having you
here. Good morning.
This is especially exciting for me. You were my first principal when I entered the district back in 2006. And I'm especially happy to be able to allow people to get to know you better in that part of your local connection that is part of your background and along with that, some of your professional preparation and credentials, and certainly the role education has played in bringing you to this point. In other words, as part of your description, why does education matter to you? And once again, good morning. I'm very, very
good
pleased
morning.
To have you here.
Thank you.
It's a real honor.
Thank you, Chuck. Of course, I've kind of had a non-traditional journey into the role I am in right now. I've graduated from high school, first one to go to college on either side of my family, and went to Northwestern University for a Bachelor of Science in Electrical Engineering. I went into electrical engineering for Procter & Gamble Green Bay for 7 years and found myself deeply involved with training a lot of the employees from anything to quality checks and statistics to reading, quite honestly, in many cases.
Wow.
And becoming leaders of the business in the Bounce & Downey fabric softener manufacturing plant. And found my love of that so fascinating. I think it was such a different journey for me to be around some people that were so skilled in their trade, in their electrical or plumbing mechanical aptitude, but maybe struggle with speaking in front of a group or clarifying or in some cases reading.
And that's very, very important in the corporate setting, especially as you advance along the corporate ladder.
Correct. And so I found myself volunteering in the school system throughout Green Bay quite a bit, and finally I had a calling to make a career shift and picked up coursework to become a teacher and an administrator with a master's degree out of UW-Milwaukee, and took a leap of faith to become a teacher in Milwaukee Public Schools. At the time, I was going to be promoted to a different position at Procter & Gamble. And I guess that really spoke to my passion for why education matters for me and my commitment to it. I taught in Milwaukee Public Schools, both in math and science and physics, and built a couple programs over a three-year time before I arrived, as you mentioned, in 2001 in Kenosha Schools as an assistant principal and then principal here. Took a step back toward Milwaukee as a principal of a technical high school.
Sure.
Very similar to...
That was Bradley Tech.
Correct.
Yes.
Yep,
mm-hmm.
Very similar to what we know here as Lakeview Tech.
Sure.
And then returned to Kenosha a few years ago, first in human resources for a year, and now in the role that you just shared was the coordinator of student support and all the programs that support that counselors and social workers throughout the district own and help deliver with our students and families.
So primarily counselors and social workers.
Correct.
Okay, and that's very important to make clear. And some of my personal passion, I would also want to make sure that you include there's a little piece in there. You did a very, very interesting bit of traveling before evolving, if you will, and returning to Kenosha. It wasn't a direct – it was around Robin Hood's barn in a way. Can you tell us just briefly about that?
Sure, I did. I had worked so much at Tremper with the welcoming the incoming freshman class with a model of the Seven Habits of Highly Effective Teens, and someone from Procter & Gamble reached out to me and asked if I could help her prepare some materials, and I was able to join her then on a church mission to Kenya, and so we taught
for about
a month
students
at the high school and college age level in Kenya to come back and bring that to the students, and because it was such a phenomenally disciplined education system in that country. You know, the Seven Habits speak to a lot of team building and experiential learning. So it was fascinating to bring our United States way of teaching and educating to that culture. And it kind of resonated with me that I needed to return into education here. And then that's when I landed at Kenosha again.
Sure. And to make some substantive differences.
Right.
No doubt. And the education system there, I can only imagine, is it has just a different curricular focus. It's not that they trash a curriculum or don't have one, but certainly life outlook, practical matters, certainly their traditions.
Right.
And the having had some spent some time in the military, I certainly have my own appreciation for world travel and the growth in terms of your spirit and character that one gains from being able to be involved in different cultures and some that are so vastly different. I can just imagine the Kenya must be just absolutely fascinating. With the programs that you're involved with in student support, can you briefly touch on some of those? You have a new initiative that you're rolling out, and you're not a stranger to Kenosha. You've been on this show a number of times discussing some of the different programs that are ongoing in the district right now and on a number of different campuses. I've referred to some of them with some of my other guests, and people might be familiar with PBIS and positive behavior intervention supports, and some of the other programs and initiatives that you've been involved with. But there's a new one, and people will hear ACP. And if you can describe that, we're going to highlight that a little bit so people don't get lost with just a mumbo-jumbo of jargon and initials and so forth. But it's very, very exciting. I heard about this a while ago, and I know that this is 2017 coming up is a banner year for rolling this out.
Correct.
If you please go ahead and tell us a little bit about the big stuff going on now.
Of course, yeah. ACP stands for Academic and Career Planning. It's very much a product and a process for students and their families and educators to go through so that students are spending time thinking about themselves, knowing what skills and interests they have, exploring ways that they can apply it, making some plans and goals to execute that, and then doing it for a little bit. It might be meeting some people. It might be getting an internship. It might be taking a course that you've discovered is not interesting to you. And so you go back and recalculate. So what's really nice about that, I guess I described the process piece of it a little bit there, it allows students to not feel, or especially parents or other critics that get nervous saying in sixth grade, you're going to pick your career and track. It's nothing like that. It's mm-hmm. all about thinking about what you are good at doing or think you're good at doing and taking some steps to confirm that or modify that.
Mm-hmm.
The product side of this expectation is that you would create a portfolio. And for us, it's going to be an online portfolio consistent with the state of Wisconsin. That portfolio is on a platform known as Career Cruising. So I would imagine a lot of families out there are, if you are a parent of a student in a school between age 6 or grade 6 and grade 12, you will hear about Career Cruising, the work that they are doing on that, as well as what access you have to review it, to input to it, to ask your child for feedback about their thinking, or in some cases help them make some connections with where you work or where you can find something in the community for them to work.
Sure,
so,
sure.
That was the product and process explanation.
Mm-hmm.
It is, like you mentioned, 2017, and a state law that every child in grade 6 through 12 will participate with an academic career plan through their schools.
Sure.
So, and it is by the fall of 2017 that is moving forward. And so the state of Wisconsin with DPI, the Department of Public Instruction, has also embraced Career Cruising as the state-selected means. That's an option, and we have been doing that in Kenosha schools for 2 years. So when you talk about initial exposure, students have had that for 2 years, and so have the counselors. So we're that deep into becoming familiar with it and proficient in learning mm-hmm. from some mistakes or some tricks of, mm-hmm. oh, gosh, it's a lot more easy for me to communicate electronically through this doorway, for example, than it is for stuffing mailboxes. So we're learning some fascinating features about the Career Cruising.
Right. And the familiarization with the Career Cruising product is remarkable. It is eye-opening. It's very accessible. It is, I would not say easy necessarily, because that's a relative term in as far as a technology is concerned. But it is navigable and intuitive with respect to the terminology used to access it. Now, and you are especially the right person for this based on your past. And you did mention something about being called to teaching later on, and the importance of education as I see it, and really having a high value for that, was obviously key in your life. There were some real benchmarks for you to go forward. And certainly someone that goes into teaching, there is an expectation that there is a higher education part of the preparation and so forth and so on. And so coming from a STEM background yourself, science, technology, engineering and mathematics, which is a big part of your background, and it's an enormous focus right now throughout the schools, and for post-secondary planning or after high school, which direction are we going? We see an enormous need in this, from manufacturing just to certainly the science and those connections to industry. So you also have not had the most conventional or traditional path, which I think enables you to embrace a lot of what the ACP is attempting to do and address, in that I'm sure there's probably statistics and information that you can relate to and refer to that says, you know, quite likely that sixth grader is going to see maybe as many as six careers in their life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not familiar with the current statistics, but I do feel like I've walked that journey even before I became an engineer, just working through my schooling and not having a parent to talk to that had gone to college. I really relied on my school experience to explore that, and I did.
Encouraged you to do well if you figured, well, I'm not going to be a teacher at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't, I'm still going to do well in school anyway. Was that a family
expectation?
Very
instilled and very important for my family. I'm the oldest of three students, we all children, we all have an advanced degree at this point, and that's not something either of my parents even had an undergrad experience. But I did. I recall in high school a counselor working with me. I really liked art. I had a whole portfolio assembled for attending the Art Institute of Chicago. And then I started taking courses in drafting, thinking I was going to be an architect, and it ultimately landed on engineering for my love of the science and still having that creative piece of design and development. So I just honor that memory, thinking this is so important for students to think along the way and know that you're going to continue rethinking. You're not going to necessarily, like you mentioned, land in the career for the rest of your life upon graduation of high school or even for college for that matter.
Sure, sure. And that value, though, is instilled in part of your work ethic. It is hardwired, you might want to say.
Of course.
And I'm especially happy to know that certainly the school district, the state, and as DPI moves forward, they see that there's a different way to approach this. And speaking from another standpoint, also, I know that from my own personal experience at Tremper High School and whatnot, some of the counselors have a tremendous body of knowledge and breadth and experience and comfort and confidence working with Career Cruising. So I think it speaks well to Kenosha that there are some resources out there that no one's going to be floundering.
Truly. I would like to talk a little bit further about the Career Cruising piece. I said where we are deep for these first 2 years of piloting, if you will. Our next work here, our timeline ahead, is to pull in the whole fold. Like I mentioned, that this is not any longer just a counselor effort with student. This is truly every staff member.
It's a team.
It really is, because already it's become a little contagious with some of the career and tech ed teachers or the STEM teachers that are realizing, let's jump into Career Cruising and do this financial literacy deep dive. You can start pulling up what it costs to what you would make potentially in a career of your interest, and is that going to match your lifestyle? And then what schools are there that offer that, and is that something appealing to you? And then further deeper is the financial aid available locally and nationally, and based on number of different demographics that students get to explore and find out, and then, like I said, recalculate and see if this is a match in their heart or not.
And hopefully developing this perceptive attitude and curiosity, not skepticism, but a willingness, an enthusiasm even, to ask that official at either the technical college or the four-year, what's your placement percentage like? I'm going to have enormous loans, potentially.
Right.
What's the outlook at being able to pay them back? And that's got to be a big, big part of that conversation as far as any level of responsibility is concerned.
Right. And then, and not just finding barriers by any sense, I think it's a really informative time for you to think, how would I work through that? Like, how it feels like I can't afford that. That seems insurmountable, but this is super important to me. So I'm going to figure out what other resources I'm going to find, because it is so important to me and because I find that I really am good at this. I got to be honest. So even when you find you're not good at it, how much efficacy do you want to push yourself through?
Sure.
I think when I speak that this is for every staff member to engage and understand the value of this, it might be the creative art teacher at the high level in a high school that's working with a student who's not doing so well in that class. But it's really important for that student to become a journalist. And so then that becomes a commitment between the teacher and the student, saying, this is important. I want to value this. I'm motivated to work through my complications of performance, and so let's do it together.
And speaking of how education matters in this respect, and the curriculum on margin across the board, I would certainly hope that part of the conversation, maybe you can clarify this, would include, gee whiz, maybe the United States, and this is not heresy, but maybe the United States is not where I springboard. I maybe have the better opportunities in a place like Kenya or France or somewhere like that. And I'd better get this French, these French classes or whatever is necessary. Is that a reasonable expectation that that's part of that process?
I don't know if expectation. I think experience. The know, explore, plan, and do. So as you're exploring, and we're
going to— Bingo. That's the big thing.
As you're exploring and you discover through an internship or just a meeting or online. It might be meeting online with someone that works down the road at Amazon that can have a story to share and may have landed here from France. All of a sudden in that exploration, you're thinking, I am going to go talk with this person further, and maybe I want to be an exchange student in a high school or college moment to check it out.
So now this process lends itself to a sense of building that confidence in possibilities that exist and realizing the fact that, gee whiz, a couple of years down the line, I might be more marketable with some overseas experience and coming back to compete for the job, the dream job I really want.
Sure.
As opposed to the Parkside grad who just goes to, goes to Milwaukee and goes through the job search or job seeking process and is reasonably successful, but also probably maybe getting some dings along the way. Like you said, sometimes the best way to define where you're going is to identify with, well, that really stinks and I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't know everything I want to do, but that I know I don't want to do. So I eliminate that and now the process is going on or able to move forward.
You mentioned something about Parkside, and it took me on a tangent in my thoughts. I think that there's going to be a benefit for higher education to also stay close with this because a group of students become fascinated with the program that's only currently offered in Madison, that I think Parkside stays close to information like that and say, let's offer our own cohort here.
Sure.
It's still with part of the UW system. So I just find value at all levels, the community, higher ed, and the K-12
education. And thinking
education.
Of the possibilities. And I certainly mean casting no aspersions. It was an example and a local example that I could use and refer to.
Versus the
global. As far as the process is concerned, sure. So, but you do have a presentation that you've been making the material aware and available to principals, counselors, education leadership, members of the administration and team, and certainly important to parents. And I don't want to infringe upon that time. I will do a brief reintro, as I'm allowed and expected to do certainly here, so that listeners can catch up on a beautiful Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. But with that in mind, I would like you to be able to at least start that and talk to us a little bit about the new initiative that this ACP is.
Of course. I think for students and families that are out there in recent years, maybe at grades 8 or grades 10, have been deeply involved with an individualized learning plan.
Or an ILP.
Yeah.
Correct.
So we have been modeling our excellence with doing that to look at the grades 6 through 12 in a similar format. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of the motivation to say we're good at bringing families involved with their students' targets and goals and thinking, but now we have the career cruising to take that to a whole different depth. We're looking at how we include parents at all grades. I mean, to schedule in all the 8th and 10th grade meetings with counselors has been a daunting task. And so to think about doing it for every 6th through 12th grader, it can't be in the same format as it does now. And that's first where you start considering, are there other formats through engaging every staff member to have dialogue, whether through like a homeroom, an advisory, or advocacy, check and connect, a quest, different formats that parent can engage with an adult in the building regarding their student's academic career plan. The other way is that there are assignments that could be built within the career cruising portfolio so that students have at certain times something to deliver to their parents, and their parents can sign on to the parent portal of this. And again, like I mentioned earlier, review where they are thinking and where they're at, looking at their skills and interests and seeing that they decided to make a change based on some informed exploration. So I think there are a number of ways we're looking at keeping the parents involved. Yet another way is to have like parent nights that dig deeper into the product.
Sure.
and see how students are taking application to the community level or to a business visit. We have reached out to the business community in a number of ways in recent years. Most recently, the Chamber of Commerce has been very supportive with this business and education partnership program.
Mm-hmm.
Twice a year over the last 3 years now, we've had community members mm-hmm. sponsor groups of students to come in and have a tour and kind of connect for those students, typically in grades 9 or 10, what it would take to be in an advanced manufacturing environment, so they start coming back to school and say, gosh, that was fascinating, and mm-hmm. it is so different than what I thought it was going to be, and now I want to learn those skills and start plugging it into my portfolio and make course connections or otherwise to build on that.
So with conferences coming up, this could be a big, a topic with conferences that are coming up at the high school level.
Correct.
And certainly I want to make sure that I include as part of my reintro here, which this is Education Matters on WGTD 91.1 FM. I'm co-moderator Chuck Wolbers, and my guest this morning is Mr. Ed Kupka, a KUSD coordinator with the Department of Special Education and Student Support. Within that capacity, the major rollout and shift in education programming that Ed is talking about this morning is a program he oversees called the ACP, the Academic and Career Plan. And a big part of that is career cruising, as we've been talking about, a program that defines and illustrates some of the possibilities that students could include in that ACP. Information, by the way, besides at the school, is also available online. If parents are interested in looking up more information about career cruising, a generic Google search could lead them in that direction.
Very much. There's vast resources available through the state. We are updating those locally as well as we've been able to customize how we are going to approach this. There's a portfolio completion standard matrix, I guess, but mm-hmm. for every 6th through 12th grader, the counselor team has come together throughout the state and then ourselves locally to say what would we expect the student to navigate and accomplish in grade 6th, 7th, 8th, and so forth.
So targets at each level.
Yep.
And so this is kind of cast in jello in a way. This is a moving target or process that moves and is developed along the way.
Correct. And so at each grade level, the students migrate through that checklist, if you will, for those experiences that we've defined locally and or even as local as a school, because some schools might have a different design or different resources to dig deeper and say that we expect a little bit more out of this grade because we can support you through that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so along with that, though, is that piece where parents then can also chime in and connect and see where they are along that percent completion, if you will, in that grade level.
Okay. So it is kind of a continuum, mm-hmm. and we're not going to get it completed by a certain time and then we'll go on to something else. This leaves room for adjustment and reinforming, mm-hmm. Perhaps recalculating or rebooting even along the way that, gee whiz, I went on this internship thing. I thought this would be a really great experience. Not for me. I don't want to dress like that. The working environment is not at all what I expected. Or, gee whiz, I was going in that direction. Now I've got a health concern that I'm going to have to readjust here.
Right. Or even, I'll take an example of someone that loves animals.
Yes.
In their early years are fascinated by being a vet, and they keep telling themselves their mental message in their head is, I'm going to be a vet. And as you go through the skill profile and learning styles inventory, and you start seeing, I really do not like science. And that disconnect comes through.
Yes.
And I think I talked about it earlier, like you have to decide it. Then you're going to take some classes in biology and chemistry and start seeing how deep you're going to have to be an expert. And is that still matching for you? or it does match, you are committed to it, and you're going to need to be surrounding yourself with extra help. And those science teachers need to be aware as well. Like, we know she is really committed to this. It's not just a love of animals. She really wants to be a vet, and let's rally around and get through this.
Yeah. And, of course, the opportunities to contact different professionals in the community. If someone did not know a veterinarian that specialized, for example, I'm glad you mentioned this because it was a big part of my background working with veterinarians as a farrier and taking care of horses' hooves and legs and so forth. I oftentimes would be called upon by a veterinarian to say, inform me about this, or how can – or a horse owner brought me in to fix something, and next thing you know, the veterinarian's there, and we have to dialogue and be able to make a plan. There is an aspect of career cruising that I think that you're probably aware of, and I haven't touched on it recently, that provides access online to local resources. And so that without leaving the home or leaving the school, that student from the library, computer, or whatever, can get in touch with a local resource. The term for that escapes me right now. I didn't know that.
I can explain.
Sure, please do.
Very exciting. There's a module within the Career Cruising known as Inspire.
Inspire
is something where communities come together.
Sure.
And the corporate world or the not the corporate, but the working community comes together and makes themselves available in a variety of formats. They can offer up – I certainly can come to a class and speak.
Mm-hmm.
Or I will be willing to reply to emails that come to me from students that inquire about what I do in this job. So there's the national pieces that are loaded in there already on Career Cruising and state resources, but this local piece known as Inspire brings our current community connected right with students in a multiple ways. And it could also be a way to get a job or an internship or just, like I mentioned, a public speaking in a class, a presentation on a tour to come to that location.
So in a way, it's a comfort or confidence level of local access, as opposed to always having to be bombarded by expectations and sometimes almost like propaganda from an entity at a higher level that, gee whiz, I can't talk with those people it's so frustrating because I don't have a password to enter that portal or something of that nature.
Right. Or, I mean, say a guy's interested in fashion design and thinks, my gosh, the only way I could learn about this is out of New York or Chicago and see the resources that are in Career Cruising. But there's probably a lot of that happening here in boutiques or anything else where those people can offer up. I will certainly have him come in and look at what I'm doing with this fashion and have that local connect, because everything feels so distant and unachievable in some cases maybe that I'll never be able to do that. Mm-hmm. But there are people right here doing that.
Now, did students, as you were developing and rolling out this model, did students have an opportunity to provide any feedback, or was it pretty well spoon-fed in that the Department of Public Instruction says this is what we expect this format to look like? Or much like the athletic facility referendum, where there was an opportunity for student feedback, these are the kind of things we would like to see if possible. Is there anything that informs the counselors and people responsible for implementing this programming from the student standpoint?
I would say yes, because the legislation on this, it doesn't define exactly what it should be. And so there's been a lot of state curiosity to pilot. There were 25 schools in this last year that piloted throughout the state. And so the feedback bubbled up that way. We attended and participated and listened to see how our three schools that were piloting, if you will, were having similar feedback or not from student voice. And again, the student voice is coming through with, I really wish I could explore this and this grade level, but it needs to be preceded by this in the earlier years.
Sure.
So I think that really kind of helped define the portfolio completion standards by grade level, because students were a constant source of feedback with counselors and other educators at the state pilot, and then what's now being informed and recommended to all of us based on that learning.
And speaking to that then, and I will promote Gateway at Gateway Technical College at this point. They do, and with my friend Ken Riley doing a tremendous job with non-traditional occupations. You had mentioned something, and it keyed on it. If a young man that wants to go into, like I said, like or as you mentioned, fashion design, how would anyone, even through the career cruising process, even think to go that way to say, boy, there's a possibility for me? And otherwise, we're oftentimes tempted to think of, well, the young guy's going to be a firefighter or work in engineering or be an architect or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
NTO, using that term, non-traditional occupation, is there a way that career cruising not only addresses that, but makes that accessible and provides that opportunity to explore?
Yes. When I mentioned those completion standards for the portfolio, I'm going to just rattle off a few that are in there in an interest survey format.
Mm-hmm.
One's called My Skills, and then another one is called Learning Styles Inventory.
Oh,
those kind of talk
huge.
A little bit about self-reflection. A third one is called Career Matchmaker. So at this point, it's starting to merge those three sources of information to spit out some recommendations of, like, you'd be good at this.
Oh, okay.
And there's an ability then, you know, in sixth grade, that might be all you want to dive into, but you could open up a further battery of questions. Like, I want to do instead of the 75-question version, I would like to do the supplemental 48 that go into it. So it's going to make me dig a little bit deeper into
so
my thinking.
So it refines this search.
Correct.
Okay.
And then it then re-spits out your career matchmaker of, these are available for you to think about. And I'm only bringing that up because maybe the initial input through those surveys didn't bring up fashion design. So they might be curious, like, God, the suggested things I should be thinking about are so off my mark, I'm still looking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still looking deep in myself because I'm feeling there's more in myself that can define this further. And so that's what the career cruising is allows. It goes on then later on to like I mentioned earlier, have you look at different colleges based on location, geography, size of school. You can have different filter selections. There's a map right in front of you to click right on the state if you'd want. The financial aid, again, it asks you a few survey questions. You can go as deep as you want in defining what describes you a little bit or what might make you special so that you would have access to a very special scholarship.
Oh, boy, and very, very important at that point to consider the inevitable dollars and cents end of things.
Mm-hmm.
But what is interesting to me as you've been discussing it and describing it is a lot of potential I see and have seen for a while with the construction systems students that are interested in working in those trades. For the person who has a performing arts interest, and maybe even not, maybe just someone who does not necessarily want to be framing up houses and so forth, what leads them into interior design? For the same kid that really, really, really loves working with lumber and constructing perhaps, like I said, houses or something of that nature. That seems to be the only direction we're going, or we built a shed or something like that. But, geez, I really want to do something more with texture and color and so forth and so on. And Gateway has a tremendous interior design program.
Mm-hmm. There you go. I would imagine that connection would ultimately match up when you're searching by
schools.
So
that would be kind of a default that's built in, I suppose, by some of the people that are...
It does. Again, in that explore piece, now that we've gotten through some knowing about yourself, when you're exploring, whether it's a school, what they're offering, or someone locally that is providing or doing that service, I think as you dig deeper, you're going to start finding more examples that cater to your special interest.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, you start building a resume and you get out and do an internship or you might visit just on a field trip.
Sure.
It doesn't even have to be that fancy. Or maybe someone comes to your class and speaks and you catch them on the side or you're emailing them. And those community resources are emailing back and giving a flavor of what the day of work looks like for them. All of that is informing what you want to then do or recalculate.
Sure. And that's primarily it, is learning to be comfortable with recalculating, because at one point you get this idea, I'm going to go to the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. They've got a great performing arts program. I really want to get into set design because I'm a really, really, really good carpenter. All of a sudden, gee whiz, they expect me to know, or I didn't know that they expect me to know about all this other stuff and different things that we can put into set design. And interior design is part of it. Well, gee whiz, maybe there's a way that I can study this at Gateway and then transfer those credits. And lo and behold, yep, we've got a 1+3 program, we got a 2+2, and so forth and so on.
Sure.
And that gets put right in their lap, and that's got to build a lot of confidence and encouraging enthusiasm.
Right, right. And clarity, not just of, I think at the beginning it feels so big of a thing to think about, like what do you want to be when you grow up?
Oh,
and
yeah.
As you start doing these slow steps, it's not just important.
When
about
I figure
what
that
you
out,
enjoy.
I'll tell you, by the way.
Yeah, same here. I'm still career pathing. But truly, I think
career cruising.
Yeah. I do think it's valuable to find something that was miserable, because you know it's information.
Yes.
It's valuable information to say that is not somewhere I am interested in or have the stamina or don't want to put my stamina behind developing that.
Mm-hmm.
So let me rethink about this and feel good about it. Feel good that I know that mm-hmm. set of skills is not where I'm going to go next in my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, people's skill sets will evolve and become refined as they become more informed about other possibilities that exist in their world. And as we get going on and ready to wrap this, because fascinating as this is, we're encroaching on out of time, and certainly I want you to have the opportunity to add anything that you think is critical at this point that you have not had a chance to, that you've been presenting to principals and that parents should be aware of. As I said, I don't know if there's anything disconnected at this point.
I guess my biggest message is this is a journey for students to think with the support of everybody. I guess it gets to that whole village, that this is
yes, absolutely.
Not something that is on a child's shoulder alone.
It's not something that the parent can just the parents should be just ready to say, okay, the school's relegated to doing this. The counselors or the teachers or the staff are just going to make this happen, and we've just got to live with it. It's
right.
part of
I
their
think,
life, too.
I think it's off all too often that you think if you're confused about your thinking, you need to go talk to your counselor. But I'm saying that this is going to be such a shift that is not the only person that is going to be able to help you as a parent or you as a student to think about yourself and what you're good at. And that is what the big shift in this academic career plan effort that's going forward is, that we're all going to be good at helping.
Is this
a
nationwide
child think
or
statewide?
It is statewide. Okay.
Correct.
So that I've got to believe everything I've seen about Wisconsin, it's cutting edge. I don't know if there are
True.
A lot of other people doing this, but also is a reflection of something that had been going on in other aspects of education, and this is a transition plan now for everybody.
Right. Correct.
And I think it's very, very encouraging, and about time that our economy shifts and changes and so forth and so on, and some of those expectations for careers and change, certainly as we look at what careers are going to be essential in the future. Sustainable energy. Will we have the same energy sources to make that plastic or those bounce sheets or whatever?
Right, right.
We've got to be increasingly more flexible.
Right. I know that you're going to take away skills no matter what you do and change your job. You still have skills, and that's what we're focusing on through this thinking and planning process.
Well, and it's implementation is next year, even though this year we're doing some of the groundwork and framework and becoming more comfortable with the particulars.
It'll be solid and familiar by next fall.
Wonderful. Well, this has been Education Matters on WGTD 91.1 FM, your gateway to public radio. I am co-moderator Chuck Wolbers, and on today's show, my guest has been Mr. Ed Kupka. And he is a coordinator with the Department of Special Education and Student Support. And within that capacity, he oversees the Academic and Career Plan Programming Initiative, which has just been rolled out and is underway, and that he's been presenting to education leadership within the district, as well as principals, and certainly now our listening audience made up of parents and other professionals who I'm sure are going to find this information fascinating as well as useful. I am grateful to acknowledge his unique skill set, talent, and depth of local influence. My goodness, been here a long, long time, and his dedicated to commitment and commitment to student success goes without stating, and certainly goes without much more clarification, because education matters. Until next time, thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
It's Saturday morning, October the 8th, 2016, and this is the WGTD Radio Theater's live broadcast from beautiful Lake Lawn Resort in Delavan, Wisconsin. I'm your announcer and host this morning, Steve Brown, welcoming you to show number 103 in this art.